Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
John the Beloved said in Revelation 21:4, as he got a glimpse of that eternal city, as he talked about in verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." I think sometimes that we put so much priorities on the things that's going to pass away. We put so much emphasis on the houses we live in, the cars we drive, and the money we have in our bank, and yet, my friend, all of these are going to be gone one day. The only thing that's ever going to last is souls. There's going to be one to Jesus in heaven. And John said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This earth is going to be burned up one of these days." And then he begins to describe that, and he said in verse 2, "And I, John, saw that holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband." I read that, and I think about every time that I've ever done a wedding, as I stand and get the groom, we come out of the side door, and then the wedding party comes down, and then they close those back doors, and then all of a sudden they begin to play that wedding march, and the doors fling open, and here that bride dressed in white as she begins to make her way down that aisle. What a glorious sight that is. And John said, "I saw that new heaven, that holy city of God, just like a bride, and when that door is flung open and coming to meet her prospective husband." And verse number 3, "And he said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with them, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe." Can y'all read that with me now? "And God," come on, church, "and God shall wipe all tears from their eyes. And there'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." I want just to think for just a brief few minutes here this morning on some of the no mores that find in Scripture. John said, "As I saw this new heaven and this new earth," there are several things that will not be existent in heaven. I'm thankful to God for that. I'm glad, my friend, that there's some things down here that this is the worst that you and I, as God's people, will ever have to deal with. This is the worst you and I will ever have to undergo. Talking to Renee yesterday on the phone, and she said, we've never dealt with cancer in a loved one, in their immediate family, until now with her grandmother. And my mind went back to my sister in 2010, and then as she passed in 2011, and dealing with cancer, and I saw and taking her to treatments and dealing with those things. And my friend, can I tell you this morning that the worst that you'll ever have to go through as a child of God is right here. The only pain you'll ever have to suffer is right here. And John said, just for a little bit this morning, he said, there's some things that we're going to leave behind when we step over and we breathe that first breath of celestial air, when we enter into heaven's gates, when we pass this veil of sorrows, when we are at home with the Lord. Somebody help me, somebody say amen. That one day, my friend, when we're absent from this body, we're going to be alive and be with Jesus in heaven. And John said, there's some things we're going to leave behind. Number one, I just want to point out to you. Number one, there'll be no more sin in heaven. I don't know about you, but down here, it is hard sometimes to live for God. You may be a whole lot better Christian than I am, and you probably are. But I just want to tell you, but my friend, it's hard sometimes. And Paul dealt with that in Romans chapter 7. He said, the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing them. And the things that I do want to do, I don't do them. And I'm sure that's the case in many of his lives this morning. As you go through a week and as you go through the day, as you get up in the morning, you've got good intentions and you say, I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray and I'm going to I'm going to try to witness today. And then as you go through the day, things happen and something comes in your way and you get upset and you get angry and you get mad. And all of a sudden you get to the end of the day and you say, hey, the things I wanted to do, I didn't do them. And the things I didn't want to do, I end up doing them. But thank God one of these days, when we breathe that last breath of this earthly air and we breathe the first breath of celestial air and we cross over into the celestial city of God where the saints of God are, where the Lord Jesus is, where the tabernacle of God is, and all the saints have ever lived in the past are, and thank God that is a place where sin cannot enter in. The worst you'll ever have to deal with is right here, the nasty now and now. I'm looking for the sweet by and by, but right now we've got some nasty now and now to deal with. But thank God there's coming a day where sin will not be anymore. Now for the unsaved, your worst day is still coming. Unsaved, your worst day is still ahead of you. You say, preacher, prove that to me. The Bible said in Revelation, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. I believe without a doubt that if a man craves alcohol and is lost without God and goes to a devil's hell, he'll crave alcohol in hell. He'll crave drugs in hell. He'll crave sex in hell. But thank God for the child of God, when we breathe that last breath and we're over there in the celestial city of God, sin cannot and will not enter in. I'm glad. I'm glad. Number two, there'll be no more sorrow when we breathe that first breath of celestial air. There's often time I spoke to the Aaron's family back here on the back row. Thank y'all for being with us this morning. Aaron is getting ready to head over to Kuwait. He's separated now from his family. And they had to tell him goodbye just a few days ago. And he's in Texas, I believe, now, and getting ready to go to Kuwait or California, I can't remember where. But anyhow, he's separated from his family. Fred, there comes oftentimes a separation in this life when there's a loved one getting ready, troops that go overseas. And I know Brother Danny here, Alex was over this week and helped me out. We stripped and waxed floors. And Alex left for college yesterday, going to Bob Jones University to study for the ministry. Thank God. Amen. And I said, when are you coming home? And he said, I'll be home next weekend. I said, amen on that. But Fred, I've got news for you. Is that oftentimes when a young person leaves home and when they go off to college or when they get married, there is a void, there is a separation, and there is a longing for that person to be back with you. 2019, for some of you, if you've had to say goodbye and plant a kiss on a loved one's cheek and say, I'll see you on the other side. Right now, your heart's breaking because of that separation, but I got good news for you. I got good news. We're going to a place where there will not be any separation. We're going to a place where there will not have to say good night or goodbye or so long or pat you on the back and say, I'll see you next week, honey. It'll be one long, continuous day for God Almighty. He'll be dwelling in the midst of them, and the Lord Jesus is the ray of sunshine, and there will not be any separation. Amen. Somebody give them glory. There'll not be any separation. If you've never had separation in your life, I mean, some of you sitting here this morning, I know you. I know your life. I know some things has happened in your life, and things have happened, and loved ones have left, and families have been split up, and loved ones have died, and your heart's breaking, but there is coming a good day when we're over in the celestial city of the redeemed of all the ages. Thank God, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. There'll not be any sin, separation. Third of all, there'll not be any sorrow. Sorrow. Some of you sitting here this morning with a broken heart. Brother Bobby and I were just talking. His mother died just about 4 or 5 years ago. for my mother, it was 16 years ago, right before I came here to be your pastor. I had to say goodbye to my mother. 1998, she had a major stroke and never was able to come back home and was in a nursing home for 5 years. She went to be with Jesus in 2003, and I look around and some of you, your mother died the same year. I don't want to call everybody's name, but I know some of you have told me. And there is sorrow when you have to say goodbye to a loved one. I told my wife this morning as I got ready to pack up my car, and she's staying here this week, and I'm headed out. And forgive me, I'm just a mushy person. I'm sorry. I was crying a little bit this morning. She said, "Don't cry." I said, "You know, I'm thankful for the years. We've been married 43 years." I said, "I'm not a... we're getting older, and I'm getting older, and death doesn't scare me." I said, what I would hate the most is having to say goodbye to you." She said, "Don't talk that way. We still got a lot of years left." Amen. But my friend, I've got some of you sitting here, you've had to, your brother, your sister, or your mom, or your dad, you've kissed that cheek, and that cheek where it's turned cold and the blood is no longer circulating, and you've had to say goodbye, and your heart's breaking in two, and you say, "I just don't know if I can go on another day or not. My heart is in pieces, and I'm just tore all to pieces over the death of my loved one." Honey, I've got good news for you. Oh, when you breathe that first breath of celestial air, sorrow will never enter that celestial city of God. Your heart will never break again. Amen. You'll not have to say goodbye to daddy again. You'll not have to say goodbye to mama again. You'll not have to tell your wife goodbye again. It'll be a place, my friend, where sorrow will never enter in. But then number four, too, there's no more sickness. Read that verse right there. Can I be real just a second? I hadn't planned on saying this. If I get too personal, y'all just overlook me for a second. My wife and I went and watched that movie, Overcomer, yesterday. Fantastic. We cried. But what, and I didn't say this to her, and she didn't say it to me, but what really kind of got next to me there was, and for those of you who hadn't seen it, I'm not going to try to spoil you, but there's a man laying in the hospital, blind, and diabetes had robbed him of his eyesight and had robbed him of his kidneys, and was eventually, it took his life. I thought of my own boy. I thought of my own son. And some of you in this room this morning, you know what it is like to get up in the morning and hurt when you get up and hurt when you go to bed. And some of you know what it's like to have to go to the medicine cabinet and get out a whole row of pills, and you take medicine, you take pain relievers, and you're, some of you, I know Brother Mike Whitt will be here next week. I've talked to Brother Mike. He's got back pain. He lives in constant pain from the morning. I said, "Brother, how do you ever sleep?" He said, "I just try to get comfortable in bed." He said, "I don't want to keep taking any pain pills. I don't want to get hooked on them, but I hurt constantly." Some of you that way. I cannot give you an answer for that. What I can tell you, Brother Bobby, is this: thank God there's coming a place where sickness will never enter. No shortness of breath, no medicine, no diabetes, no heart attack, no stroke, no cancer, nothing, my friend, will enter that celestial city of God. Somebody thank the Lord this morning. You say, "Preacher, I'm in good health." Praise God for that. I am too. Glory to God. But I know one thing. These old bodies are going to wear out one of these days. But I'm glad I'm going to the celestial city of God. And when I breathe that first breath of celestial air, there's one thing that will never enter that city. And that is my pain and sickness will never enter in. Never. No more sorrow, no more sighing, no more sickness, no more separation. And then, last of all, I'm done. There's one thing that will be there that's not down here. There's one thing, Brother Bobby. 1967, on a Sunday night, 4905 Lakemont Drive, I was introduced to the best friend I've ever had. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's never been disappointed in me. He's never turned his back on me, but I've never seen him. I don't know what he looks like. And some people say, well, you know, we've got pictures of Jesus. Honey, you don't know what Jesus looks like. You see the picture of him holding his hands, long hair. I don't think Jesus had long hair. Somebody say amen. He did have a beard. They plucked his beard out, but I don't believe he had long hair. That's some artist's rendition of what he believed he looked like. John said, I saw him, though he had eyes as a flame of fire. And he said he was the most beautiful. One thing that will be there that is not down here, and that's my Savior. One that went to Calvary. One that suffered and died. The one that was nailed in anger. The one that bled. The one that had his beard ripped out by the roots. The one that was smote over his head. The one that had his back beaten into shreds of meat hanging and compelled to bear his cross to Calvary's brow and was beaten and scourged and nailed in anger and lifted and dropped in a hole and gave up the ghost and was buried for 3 days and 3 nights. Came out of the grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave as ascended up into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for me and you, coming back in great glory one of these days, and in heaven I'll see my Savior. Do you know him today? Do you know him? Do you know him that lived and died and bled for you? Do you know him who right now wants to receive you?